Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We've got a special show for you tonight, ADHD, the parent-child relationship.
We're going to get to the content in a moment. Before we do, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, just listen to our show. We'll be sharing a secret word a couple times. Write it down. Listen to another show. And write down the secret word of that show, and then just email me the two words. That's all you need to do. Email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get it, we'll forward it to Chad. We'll get you a PDF copy of the current edition of Attention Magazine, and they'll send you a PDF copy of the next edition when it's in print. We have a little tip that we're going to share with you that Chad made, and we'll get into the show.
Women diagnosed with ADHD in adulthood are more likely to have depression, be stressed, and have low self-esteem. It's recommended they talk to a professional to develop better life and stress management strategies. But here are some tips. Identify the sources of stress and make changes. Develop healthy self-care habits, such as getting adequate sleep, exercise, and good nutrition. To learn more about ADHD in women, visit chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate, or to become a member, go to chadd.org.
So, Jan, can you introduce our guest?
Yes, Jeff. We're very happy to have Elaine Taylor-Kloss with us today. For over a decade, Elaine struggled as a mom in an ADHD plus-plus family of five. After discovering that a coach approach dramatically helped her and her entire family, she co-founded ImpactADHD.com, the first virtual parent coaching support organization for parents of complex kids. In 2020, Impact ADHD expanded to become Impact Parents. A master-certified coach, Elaine has served as a parent advisor for the American Academy of Pediatrics and is on the National Board of CHAD. In addition to serving as CEO of Impact Parents and providing private coaching for adults worldwide, Elaine co-hosts the Parenting with Impact podcast. She is a frequent contributor to Attitude and Attention magazines, is co-author of Parenting ADHD Now, Easy Intervention Strategies to Empower Kids with ADHD, and she is author of the 2020 number one new release, The Essential Guide to Raising Complex Kids with ADHD, Anxiety, and More. So, Jeff, we're so glad to have Elaine with us today.
Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Looking forward to it, as always.
Yeah, so this is a topic that you came to me with. You know, Attention Talk Radio, we like to pay attention to attention. And a lot of times what I'm trying to bring out in my shows are those invisible things that we don't think about, those underlying variables that have a real big impact on things. And, you know, one of the things that I remember years ago when I was in Scouts, because I've always heard, you know, it's really important that you love your child. Like, that made some sense to me, kind of, but it didn't. But I remember there was a dad there one time. And his kid, we were in Cub Scouts, and I think his kid really wanted him, and his dad didn't really pay attention to him. There was an act where he gave his son a cell phone. Back in the day, nobody that I knew in first grade had a cell phone. And the kid got a lot of attention from other kids, but he didn't get attention from his father. And so it changed for me. It wasn't about loving your kids. It's like paying attention to your kids. One of the things that I learned the hard way is when your kids want to talk to you, there's no putting off. They're either in the mood or they're not. If you think that you're going to delay, it ain't going to happen. So the challenge is if they want to talk, you got to drop what you're doing because that's just the way kids are. And so what I was learning from you is that this invisible thing that's really, really important, as particularly if you're a complex parent, is nurturing the relationship with your child.
Yeah.
To the point, like, what I took from you is we get all caught up in the, you know, like, the teaching, the safe space and stuff like that. People lose sight of that relationship. And I think what I heard you say, it's almost like the single most important factor for success. I may be putting words in your mouth, but just take it from there.
I don't think that's overstating it. I mean, we've been saying to parents since we started in 2011 that if you don't know where to focus, there are two places to look. One is self-care, and the other is lean into your relationship with your kid. Because at the end of the day, I mean, love is really important, but love is not enough to make a relationship, right? Relationships take attention and effort and commitment and engagement and you know, as you say, nurturing. And to foster the kind of growth and awareness and development that we need to foster with kids with ADHD and other complex issues, they need to feel safe and trusted. You know, you and I have done another episode on trust, right? They need to feel safe. They need to be able to trust us to enroll them and invite them to their best selves without feeling judged by us, because they are judged by the world, and they are judged by themselves. And it's really easy for them to fall into this place of not trusting. And so the way to really build a relationship is to build trust. And when we build on that trust, we can feel connected to our kids, and we can have conversations with them to connect them to themselves in ways that we can't do if they don't feel safe with us.
Mm.
Because we are what allows them to feel safe with themselves. Grounding wire for them.
So when you say lean into a relationship, what does that look like? I know the outcomes.
It could be a million things depending on the kid. But, I mean, if we start with the assumption that barring, you know, trauma and abuse, we're not talking about that.
Yep.
We're assuming we're talking about healthy human beings who are trying to be healthy adults. There's no kid in the world who doesn't want a relationship with their parents. There's no kid in the world who doesn't want their parents to see them, accept them, love them, believe in them, encourage them, guide them, teach them, all of those things. And when we as parents get stuck in the teaching, the teachable moments, the lessons, when we get stuck in what we want them to do or learn, and we don't kind of go a little bit further back to what the connection is that we have with them and they have with us, they're less likely to learn anything from us because they're not sure if they can trust us. But if we can do things with them, know them, play with them, find out what they're interested in, as you say, put the cell phone down and be attentive to them. I'm reminded of a commercial when you and I were kids. There was some kid that looked at his dad and said, "When can I be one of your clients?" You know, it's like if we can give them undivided attention, and it doesn't have to be long periods of time, but like what I used to say to my kids is, "Hang on, let me put this down. Okay, now you have my full attention. What do you need?" To say to them, to let them know, I am going to tune out the rest of the world to be for you in this moment. And it doesn't have to be for a long time. That's how they get the message that they matter, to us. And when life is really crazy, crazy busy, it's hard for them sometimes to wonder if they matter to us as much as our work does and the homework does and all the other stuff, right?
So, yeah, I'm going to see if I can kind of translate this a little bit. So for me, I always talk about the twos, like, look at me, look at me, look at me, like where you got a two-year-old, and whatever they're doing, they want you to look at you, and whatever they're doing, I usually kind of can't figure out, and I remember, I've been around 2 years old, where they're doing that, and it's a lot of anxiety for me, because I got to sit there and pay attention to something, I'm not really sure what I'm looking for, but the kid wants attention. What I'm hearing is in those moments, I got to self-regulate, and I really got to sit there and drop what I'm doing and lean into that, because that's a moment for us to connect. Am I misrepresenting
right.
that? Both what we're talking
about right
and the hard
target.
Part. All right,
it's the moments that we connect. It's helping them see that we see them and that we are there for them, that it's not just about – and I think ultimately this is about – is it about us or about them? And you know, very often as adults, we are going through our busy lives where our priorities are what's important.
Yep.
And, you know, we don't think it's important that our kids really want to play make-believe or our kids really want to tell us, you know, or tell us about the TikTok they watched or, you know,
yep.
It can change with the age. But if they get the message that what they care about is unimportant, then they're less likely to connect in a relationship with us.
Wow. All right. That's a lot. Let's go to break. We'll come back. We're going to pick up on this because I got a couple other I'm reflecting back on my life and some things that I'm like, I could have done this a little bit better. So, and I'll bring that out there. Hopefully some of the people that are listening to grow. We love Lane. She's great. Go learn more about her and her organization at impactparents.com. A quick shout out to Time Timer. They've got a great tool to help people with clock math. It's a cognitive shortcut if you struggle with time. Our secret word tonight is parent. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Are you a parent of a child, teen, or young adult with ADHD? If you're like us, you're always looking for something you can do that will really help your kids. Impact Parents gives you the tools with guidance so you can empower your kids so they can learn to manage their own lives. For confidence in parenting and peace in your home, download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools. Go to impactparents.com/parentADHD for the guidance you've been seeking. That's impactparents.com/parentADHD. Start making things better for your family today.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by GigCoaching.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, with Elaine Taylor-Claus. So we're having a conversation about the parent-child relationship being kind of like paramount, like that one thing that you need to focus on more than anything else. And so far, I'm really learning a lot. Before the break, I shared a story about the two-year-old looking at me, and I can tell you right now, I'll be interested in your comments on this, Elaine, is that I can kind of look back and regret it. I know this is that when I walk into a room of people that I don't know, I instantaneously start, oh, where are you from? Because I've lived a lot of places and I've traveled a lot. Oh, Texas, really, where? Deer Park, I used to live there at space program back when my dad was working on the space program. And I'm always looking for that common interest that I can kind of bond with them and kind of foster that relationship. And I think with kids sometimes – my regret is I had that with my kids, but there was one period of time in particular that I had one of my kids that was getting into video games.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to play the video games, and I didn't. And it's funny because I think the relationship would have benefited had I sat down and did it. It's their interest. I mean, I'm the parent. I should be adapting, not trying to get them to always play around my interest. Now, I've coached other people where you're trying to find something that's in common, but in terms of leaning into that relationship, they're doing it. And I didn't participate in it. Thus, as time went on, they would talk about things that I didn't really understand and couldn't have a conversation. It was a big part of their world. And so I'm sharing that because it's like a void. Is that like a and it was hard because I'm not a video game type, but some people love it, but it's just not something that, I mean, I don't loathe it, but it's not something I attracted to. But would that be an example of leaning into it and like meeting them where they are? I'm playing the game to develop my kid with a relationship, not because I like the game. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I remember saying to a dad, I was working with a couple, a dad of a 12, 14-year-old girl, and he was like, are you saying to me you want me to pay attention to the fashion stuff she's watching on TikTok? And I was like, yes, I am. I know you want her to be playing tennis, but what she's trying to tell you is that she's also interested in fashion. And if you want her to get out there and play tennis with you and be a competitive tennis player, which is your agenda for her, then you need to also figure out what her agenda is and what she cares about. And that doesn't mean we have to be absolutely enthusiasts about everything our kids are enthusiastic about. And I do think we have to be careful, because what happens often is that parents will say, well, you know, we support their achievement, right? So I'll support them if they're excelling at something. But it's not always about whether they're excelling. It's just, are they having fun with it? Are they interested in it? I mean, I have a 26-year-old kid who I went on a pokey walk with not too long ago. I couldn't care less about pokey walk, but I do want to go out and walk in the park with my kid. And if what was going to get her out there was a raid, a
yep.
pokey raid, then I went out on a pokey raid, and she loved it. And, you know, it was entertaining for her to be able to show me. That doesn't mean I have to download my own Pokemon app and follow it. It just means I have to acknowledge that that is what she's interested in, and I want to be interested in all of who she is, not just what she's doing in med school. And this is a kid who does pokey walks and med school, you know, like
yeah.
there's range there.
Now I'm having a flashback now of respect from what I thought. So I got diagnosed with dyslexia in 1972. It's just funny because I actually still have the letter. And my dad said, okay, well, what do we do? This is like famous words in my family. And the doctor at the time said, find what your kid's interested in and throw all your money you got at it. And where that translated was I was an athlete, but you know, fast forward, I'm in middle school and I'm swimming. I lived in Northern Virginia, and it was at the pool. It's a long story to get to this point in time, but we moved an area, and where I trained was an hour away. So it meant getting up at 4:20 in the morning, driving an hour to be – so I could be in the water at 5:30 to get out to drive
right.
2 hours back. Now, and then go
yeah.
to swim meets. Now, most people don't know anything. Swim meets. You go to swim meets, and there's like 50 heats of the 500 free – It's a god-awful board. I never forget that my dad was actually back in the 70s timing when G. Gordon Liddy got out of jail for Watergate, and they were timing together, and G. Gordon Liddy, this is like watching paint dry. And I'm kind of going back to, oh, the pain my father must have been gone through. But you know, I remember driving there with him. I remember driving back, the time that we spent together. He knew what my times were and stuff like that. Now, he timed
yeah.
to keep himself occupied. But here's my point, is that, number one, my parents tried to find what I was interested in and supported it, and I give a lot of any success I've had from that mindset. But we actually kind of got together on that bond, even though I'm sure it wasn't the most pleasant thing for him. But as we got older and I got better, I think the rewards kind of came together. Again, I'm just sharing these thoughts and yours of what this looks like to lean into your kids. Is that right?
Well, yeah, and I think what's really important here is that he leaned into something you were interested in, right?
Yep.
And you happen to be a competitor and you happen to excel, right? So booyah for that. There are times where parents will get into what a kid's interested in, and the kid may lose interest and the parent is still pushing it. So that's one thing we have to be careful of. I saw that when my eldest kid is an actor, and I saw this a lot with kids. When they first, as teenagers, when the parents were still really pushing it, and the kids are like, well, they were ready for something else. And I know that one of my kids probably tried 20 different sports before they landed what they loved. So yes, totally, to follow what your kids love and understand that part of the job of a kid is to explore and experiment and try different things. And so that it may not be, they may be doing this for a couple of months and then they move on to something else. And so we want to make sure that we move with them and that we're not forcing them into, you know, because now we're attached to it because
yep.
we care. But I remember when one of my kids stopped playing one of the competitive sports, I was really disappointed because I used to love to those games,
yep.
you know. And so it was kind of a loss for me because that was my community and those were my people and I knew all the other parents, but the kid was done. So it really is about following them and following
yes.
the connection.
Yes.
Yes.
So I want to go to break, but this is a Jeffism. A Jeffism, everybody, doesn't mean it's researched or fact. This is just my experience in my life. But you said something that was interesting because the kids would explore. And when I was a kid, oh, my God, it was 4-H. It was Indian guides. It was wrestling,
right.
baseball, football,
guys.
Then tennis, a little bit of basketball. Swimming, then there was ultimate frisbee, then I picked up golf. And back in the day, I remember in the summertime, I would swim 3 hours in the morning, go play 27 holes of golf and go back and swim for another hour and a half in the afternoon. But the thing about it is, and I got to travel.
A little ADD, everyone.
But the thing about it was, I was exposed to so many things, and I learned so much about myself. My older son, I had him in, like, drawing classes, and I had him doing every sport known to man, and Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and all that kind of stuff. And it's amazing to me, all those little things that we did, how little bits and pieces of them are all showing up in his life now that are kind of coming back. And one of the things I see is exploring that stuff with your kids can be really helpful to help them kind of grow and help their confidence and even give them things to talk about when they're kind of connecting with people. So let's go to break and come back and continue our conversation. Again, everybody, check out Elaine at impactparents.com/attention. Our secret word tonight is parents. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay. Do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here with Elaine Taylor-Claus talking about the importance of the parent-child relationship and really honoring this and illuminate it, because I think all too often we get caught up in the day-to-day, this, that's got to get done, and we lose sight of the, you know, the bigger picture, because this goes back to spending time when your kids are in, they don't have a deadline. The thing about it is, you don't have to do it right now, but if you don't do it right now, you'll put it off and it'll actually never happen. So it's like kind of one of those important things that you got to make time for. And I want to acknowledge, parents, our world is just changing and it's getting so complicated. And I can see how a parent's like, oh my God, how do I do this? I got so many demands that are going on. Like when I was a kid, I would just jump on my bike and go ride and play. Mom could get some things done. Now they're like in the house and you have to entertain them. I don't want to minimize that, but I think the goal here is really bring awareness as a parent that the most important thing is you for foster that relationship with your child among anything else. I think that's what our message is. And
for sure.
And really, it takes a little bit of self-regulation and not lose sight. And there's lots of demands, but it's the important things that matter. Correct?
Yeah, correct. And here's what I would add is that it's really easy for us to see it when kids are little, right? Okay, yeah, I should be maybe playing make-believe more. Or I should be reading more books. Or like we get that, you know, some parts of parenting little kids can be boring, let's be honest. What I want to make a plug for here is that it's never too late, because every child on the planet wants to be in relationship with their parent if they can be, if it can be healthy. Now, they may be skeptical if they're teenagers or young adults. They may be more resistant, and it may take a little longer to learn their trust if you haven't been, you know, playing these games for a while, because now they're not sure they can trust you. But it's never too late. And in fact, the older kids are when parents come to us, the more likely I am to say, okay, first thing you need to do is forget about school, forget about getting a job, forget about whatever it is, and start leaning into your relationship and reconnecting the relationship. Because without that, so we haven't really talked about this, but let's go here. You know, there's the difference between control and influence.
Yes.
Right? We, as parents, on some level, we want to be able to control our kids. At some point, we figure out that it's a fool's errand, but let's be honest, we want it on some level.
Yep.
What we really want, role to play as a parent, is to be a positive influence in our kids' lives. And that starts from a very early age, and it becomes more and more important as they get older. And there's this kind of proportionate parallel between relationship and influence. The more we can have a relationship with our kids, the better we can influence them. And in fact, Jeff, and I can get you the stats, there was some research that came out just a couple of weeks ago to this effect, that teenagers are more likely to accept unsolicited advice from their parents, think life lessons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are more likely to accept and listen to and be influenced by unsolicited advice if they feel like their parents give them autonomy and agency and control in other aspects of their life.
Wow.
So if we stand for influencing them instead of controlling them, and the earlier we do that, the better. The more we allow them to have a sense of autonomy,
mm-hmm.
This is true for all kids. This is not specific to ADD or not ADD. This is parents and teens and young adults. If we respect their individuality, their autonomy, their sense of agency as a separate human being, and we be in relationship with them for who they are as a human being, with that, then we enhance our capacity to influence them when there's something important that we think they should learn from us or know, or that we want to be able to guide them on. I think that's really powerful.
We talk about this a lot. A lot of it kind of comes up, but I want to be kind of clear about the difference between control and influence. Control is when you're trying mm-hmm. to get your kids to do something. And as a parent, you want your kids to do things because you don't want them to suffer maybe the hard lessons or make really bad decisions or catastrophic. You don't want that. It's reflexive as a parent that you're over top of them and you're really trying to force them to do that. The problem with it is if you push too hard, then they'll fight back, because if you're trying to control them too much, emotionally, people with ADHD, it's an executive function, is that when they're trying to be controlled, they're going to fight back. They're going to run away from you. And the idea here is if they run mm-hmm. away from you and something really, really bad happens, you want them to call you, not other
That's right.
bad influences. And so this is that dynamic that I just want to be kind of clear, is that if you're trying to get your kid to do something, you're trying to control them. Like, I'm trying to get – and the word get is that the clear thing. That's a sign of control. And what Elaine's saying is very subtle. It's really hard not to try to get them because you don't want to be in pain. But understand is if you push too hard, you will lose influence, and that's the one thing that you want. Because if you lose influence, then you're stuck in your kids. You have no – who knows what they're going to do and where they're going to go. So always retain that. And it's a subtle thing, and I had my own issues with it sometimes because you love your kids, but – it's a big deal. And so I just wanted to kind of make that distinction so people understood it.
I think it's really important. The other thing I'll add to what you're saying is that, so in coaching, we talk a lot about doing versus being, right?
Yep.
And when we're in relationship, we talk about being in a relationship with someone. You know, there is some doing, and we've been giving examples of the doing, pay attention to what their interests are, you know, spend time with them. Yep. That's a doing. But what we're really talking about is how we're being in relationship with them. And when we talk about lean into relationship, nurture relationship, it is more of a being thing than a doing thing. It is more of a connection. You know, I was talking to my son's about to turn 23, and he just graduated from college. And we were talking about years ago, like, decades ago, my husband and I sat down and said, what do we want our kids to remember life in our family to be like? What are the three most important things each of us mm-hmm. want them to remember? And there was a piece of it that was about the doing, but it was really about being, having fun with each other, enjoying each other, listening to music together, going hiking together, having really amazing family dinners together. It was the lightness and the connection of it rather than mm-hmm. the actual act itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really important here.
It goes back to that thing, people remember not what you do, but how you make them feel.
You make them feel, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they want to feel seen and respected and loved and encouraged. And they want us to see their possibility and help them see it for themselves.
Touché. All right. Anything left? I think we've put a spotlight on that. It's really, really, really
beautiful
important
conversation.
really, really important.
Thank you for
You got to make time for it. That's the trick here, because if you don't make time for it, it's really not going to happen. It's kind of like Japanese psychology, gratitude, the practice of gratitude. You got to sit down and write what you're grateful, because problems abound. We're always solving problems, but if you don't actually make the time to be grateful, then all you'll find yourself is focusing on negativity and everything that went wrong in your life, as opposed to realizing a lot went right. So,
and it's not just time; it's also attention and intention.
Yep.
Because you can do it in little snippets. You know, the
yep.
notion that I don't have enough time for, we always have enough time to take that moment and give someone an extra hug, give us an extra, like we can create time for little moments of connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Elaine, thank you for coming on the show. It's been great.
Thanks for this conversation. It was really impactful.
I love it. I learned a lot. Everybody, impactparents.com for attention. But lots to learn. Check out Elaine's stuff there. Again, our secret word tonight is parents. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.